Michigan was one of the first states to enshrine victims' rights into its state constitution. But more than 30 years on, there is no real mechanism set up to enforce those rights. Well, that is about to change thanks to a grant from, in part, the DOJ. Sarah Prout-Rennie is executive director of the Michigan Coalition to End Domestic and Sexual Violence. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you.
So yours is one of six groups chosen to receive a grant for the RISE Project, Victims' Rights Enforcement Project. What's this project about?
So this project, and we are deeply honored to have received this money nationally, is to provide attorneys for victims in the criminal legal system. This has been a dream of mine for over 20 years, and we're very excited the federal government is working to fund making sure victim advocacy is present in our criminal justice system.
So tell us, on the ground, what's it going to mean, this grant? What will you be able to do with this grant from the National Crime Victim Law Institute and the U.S. Department of Justice?
Well, it is a clinical, so we'll be hiring two attorneys and then working with two law schools, Michigan State and Wayne State University. We'll have an office in Okemos and one in Detroit, and we'll be teaching students as well as taking cases for crime victims. A good example of one of those cases that we wish we had had this project for would be a child pornography case where dad had sexually assaulted the child, taken videos, and in the criminal case, the defense attorney, in violation of a variety of different statutes and ethical norms, took stills back to the perpetrator. While the prosecutor was offended by this, it's not really his role to assert the victim's rights, but it was devastating for the victim that her perpetrator got to see once again this sexually abusive material. So it was one of the cases that prompted us to write for this grant.
And so having that clinic, how could having that clinic and these attorneys that you're going to hire and also the students you're going to train, how would that have changed that situation?
Well, the idea was that if the victim had her own attorney, someone would be there to represent her interests. They would have filed a motion to make sure that the statutory requirements that file be sealed were taken care of. They would have made sure that the defense attorney was held accountable, sanctioned, and ultimately that there were additional consequences to the perpetrator for seeking to review this material that was deeply designed to damage. That particular action, we believe, was designed to damage the victim so she would come to a plea bargain. So while the prosecutor's job is not to represent the victim, it's to represent the state and get a conviction, these attorneys' jobs are to make sure that the criminal justice system doesn't further re-victimize simply by its own nature.
Let's drill down on that and talk about victims' rights in Michigan, Sarah Prout-Rennie. What problems do you believe victims currently face in Michigan's legal system?
Well, there's significant numbers. Michigan in 1985 was one of the first states to pass a constitutional amendment that provides victims' rights. And we were very much ahead. But for whatever reason, none of those rights have had any teeth in them. There's been no mechanism to enforce them. So sexual assault victims, domestic violence victims, trafficking victims are often not consulted, are often not aware of what's happening. They're often, for example, we have a rape shield law. Often they're asked, despite that rape shield law, extensive questions about their sexual history. This is particularly important because for sexual assault, for example, less than 3% of sexual assaults actually even get to the courtroom. And one of the reasons is victims don't want to come forward, and they don't want to come forward because this is an extremely brutal process.
The Michigan Coalition to End Domestic and Sexual Violence was one of only six groups, as we were saying, nationwide chosen for this grant. Why is Michigan a good fit for this grant?
Well, we were very lucky in that we have the support of the Prosecuting Association of Michigan, and we are working with prosecutors, not in opposition to them, that prosecutors want this sort of advocacy in the courtroom. We also have a remarkably good constitutional amendment. It just hasn't been, the supporting victims' rights, it just has not been enforced.
And it, as you were saying, this goes back all the way to the mid-80s. So Michigan kind of was on the forefront of the victims' rights movement.
Absolutely. And then for whatever reason, we've fallen very far behind. And one of the things I do want to make sure that we also will be doing as an advocacy group is making sure victims are not lost in the governor's new push to change sort of the criminal justice system. We definitely want changes in the criminal justice system, but we don't want those voices forgotten. And Michigan is sort of, with the new governor's task force, also at the forefront of looking at what we're doing. So this was a unique opportunity as well for us to have and strengthen the voices of victims in opposition to the, not opposition, in collaboration with the voices of changes in the incarceration system.
Speaking of being lost, in recent years, Michigan got a lot of negative attention for all of those untested rape kits that were just sitting on shelves in Wayne County for years. Could this clinic help change the narrative for crime victims in this state to make sure that something like that does not happen again?
That is absolutely our goal. We are passionate about that. I have had colleagues that have worked on the testing of those kits. I have every respect for the work that's been done to remedy that situation. And we absolutely do not want that ever to happen again. Overall, we also see this as an important conversation about the ways in which women and minorities who are victims are often unheard. And Michigan is a uniquely situated state to be able to raise up the voices of those victims. Our particular project will have two focuses. One will be in northern Michigan. We have a large indigenous population in Michigan that often gets missed, and there is a plethora of folks who are raped and murdered on tribal lands where they're not seeing any sort of justice throughout the nation. Mm-hmm. And you may be aware of that through some of the social media campaigns. We really want to make change in our northern communities. And the reason we've chose Detroit is particularly around underserved, is around those rape kits, around domestic violence, around underserved populations that have not been able to have a voice in justice.
Another thing I'd love to get your thoughts on. Here we are sitting in 2019, and part of our lives is it's the rise of technology. So with messaging apps and photos that can be texted instantly, there are new tools of domestic abuse. How does technology affect the experience of victims going through the legal process?
That is an excellent question. One of the challenges of the law is that it's slow. And there's a lot of things within our legal system that just hasn't adapted to the rise in technology. So perpetrators are using technology to further abuse and harass their victims through criminal cases to dissuade them from coming forward. And often those social media and technological advances are not being caught by restraining orders or other types of bond conditions because it's simply not thought of. You know, we certainly haven't had enough training on the complexities of the new technology. We just haven't caught up. And that is an area of great interest to the coalition.
Some legal scholars and attorneys, Sarah, worry that too heavy a focus on victims' rights in the courtroom could place too much focus on vengeance and threaten the defendant's rights. And we've seen crime victim stories used by politicians to advocate for harsher punishments, punishments that have often disproportionately fallen on people of color or people on the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder. What role do you see the clinic playing in this conversation about balancing victims' rights with ensuring fairness in our criminal justice system?
That is another excellent question. We believe very strongly in due process. We believe very strongly in the rule of law. And we believe there's a balance for both, because just as the criminal justice system disproportionately has affected perpetrators of color, victims of color, and economically disadvantaged victims are not seeing justice either. It is a important two-way conversation that we look at race, socioeconomic status, and gender in our systems and tailor appropriate responses that are measured and balance the rights and needs of both. But we cannot lose the fact that, again, 3% of sexual assault victims make it even to court, and less than 0.5% ever get a conviction. Mm-hmm. Similarly, domestic violence is a misdemeanor. Trafficking is barely on the radar, and we have 0.5% of our Native population that will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime.
There's a lot of work to do.
There is a lot of work to do.
And you're hiring two attorneys with this grant, opening these clinics in Detroit and in Okemos. But what are your hopes? Where do you want to see this go?
I would like this to be part of, that statewide dialogue. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to first enforce our crime victims' rights. We have laws on the books, and we believe in that just as due process is important, there was a reason we passed the Crime Victims' Rights Act. And we want that balance. In addition, we want to be part of this larger conversation of absolutely there's an over-incarceration of certain nonviolent crimes, but let's not lose the fact that victims of violent crimes deserve accountability and safety.
Sarah Prout-Rennie, Executive Director of the Michigan Coalition to End Domestic and Sexual Violence. Sarah, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.